Adonai Eham. Shema, 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 Shema.
Shalom, shalom, boker tov to all of you. Good morning. It's so nice to be with you this morning. I'm Rabbi Barbara Aiello. I am your radio rabbi. 15 years and counting, and all thanks to you, my wonderful listeners. It's so good that you're with us today. We're here on AM 930, The Answer, every Sunday morning at 8:30 to 9:30. So thanks for tuning in. We say hello and boker tov to all of our friends all around the world. As a matter of fact, Jenny in Sweden is listening. And Carmen in Rhodes is listening on the island of Rhodes in Greece. And so we're real happy to have you with us as well as a number of new listeners who've been tuning in lately. Thank you so much for all of your comments about Elvis Presley's Jewish roots. I really appreciated that. Not to mention Dr. Zohar Doulin, our Lashanima, who talks to us about the mother tongue, about the Hebrew language, the etymology of the Hebrew phrase for Temple Mount, and then a little bit of history, which many of you really appreciated. And if you want to listen again, just go to Radio Rabbi on my website, rabbibarbara.com. Click on to the archive shows, and you can listen to last week's show. Or if you'd like a printout of that, you can just send me an email, rabbi@rabbibarbara.com. We say good morning and boker tov to all of our Christian friends who are on their way to church or coming home from the early service. You know that how much we appreciate you, how much we appreciate your consistent support of Israel. And our producer today is my good friend Joe. He's making it all happen electronically, digitally, and every other way. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi Barbara. Great to be here with you today.
I'm so glad you are. Boker Tov. You want to practice a little Hebrew? Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
And Todah Rabah means thank you. Todah Rabah.
Todah Rabah.
Very good. You're speaking Hebrew like an Israeli. Thank you so much for all you do. And, of course, we say thank you to Sleep King of Sarasota, our charter sponsor for all these 15 years. Today is August 20th, 2017. On the Hebrew calendar, however, it is the 28th day in the Hebrew month of Av, A-V, Av, in the year 5777. Now, we have some good news today. Mazel tov to our honored guest, Dr. Tudor Parfit of Florida International University. He is here in Calabria visiting with us, and we're really happy to have him with us. Board member Angela Amato and her son, Alessandro Parfit, will be joining us on Tuesday, August 22nd, for our second annual Jewish music concert, along with our band leader. Our town has its own band, yes, indeed. Our band leader, Pino Caruso, and we're so pleased to bring Jewish music to our little mountain village here in the toe of the Italian boot. Mazel tov to Mackenzie, who becomes bat mitzvah this week on August 24th, and we will be putting a concert announcement on our blog about the concert here, and of course about High Holy Days and a lot of other things. You're not on our Facebook page. Friend me on Facebook. I would, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. I'd love to have you with us on Facebook. And also on my website, just click on blog and you can read my thoughts about a whole bunch of different things these days. We're going to start this morning with kind of a little mix of Yiddish and English, and we have some nice Yiddish music for you today. I know you're going to enjoy Mandy Patinkin, the CD Mama Lotion. Have you ever heard 10 Kopecks? Let's listen.
10 Kopecks hab ich, und 10 will ich mir leihen. Ich will nehmen mein Schen Mädela und gehen mit dir gulieien. Ich will sie traktieren, ich will sie peiteln und feigen. Ich will sie kuschen, glätten, sie wird los und sie wird schweigen. Ei, 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 wie süßen Wohl und Fein. Ei, 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 wird mir doch der Wohl sein. Ei, 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 wie süßen Wohl und Fein. Ei, 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 wird mir doch der Wohl sein. Ei, 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 ei
This morning, nothing will, right? Supercalifragilistic and the hokey pokey in Yiddish. Ah, what could be better? This is the Radio Rabbi program. I am your Radio Rabbi, and that was Mandy Patinkin from the CD Mama Lotion, a wonderful piece of music and a wonderful CD. If you don't own it, you might want to make it your own. It's just a lovely, lovely piece of music. Well, we are going to talk about the world-famous monkey that was nearly eliminated by the Nazis. Maybe you know who that was. That was Curious George. His creators saved the beloved monkey from the Nazis. Now, Curious George, of course, was a curious little monkey. He's beloved by millions of readers around the world. His adventures with the man with the yellow hat impart important life lessons amidst silliness and mayhem. But many people probably don't know that the children's book character was actually born during very dark times. His two Jewish creators, Margaret and H.A. Ray, fled the Nazis in 1940 on homemade bicycles, no less, carrying their unpublished manuscripts with them. The story of the couple's daring escape is told in the forthcoming documentary, Monkey Business, The Story of Curious George's Creators. It will premiere, it has premiered online and on-demand platforms on last Tuesday, August 15th, and it is still available for you now. At the same time, in a coincidence of timing, the 2005 children's book, The Journey That Saved Curious George, will be mailed to 8 and 11-year-old children all across the United States this month through the PJ Library Program, which is a nonprofit group that champions Jewish-themed children's books. But no matter what the format, the story of Curious George's creators is a fascinating one. Hans Augusto Rey, whose name was Reiersbach, and Margaret Waldstein first met at Hamburg in the 1920s. Margaret, who had studied art at the influential Bauhaus School and whose father was a member of the German parliament, left Germany for Brazil in 1935 to escape the rising tide of anti-Semitism. Hans, on the other hand, had been working in Rio de Janeiro as a bathtub salesman. The pair, who had met over a decade before in Germany, married that year, and then they moved to Paris. Hans worked as a cartoon illustrator for a newspaper. Margaret wrote copy. A French publisher was impressed with some of Hans's animal drawings and suggested that they work on a children's book. Their first work was Raphael and the Nine Monkeys, and one of those monkeys would later become Curious George. By June 1940, though, the situation in Paris looked grim as Hitler's troops began to close in. Millions of people flocked to trains heading to the south of the country, and Hans could not get a ticket. They didn't own a car, so they decided to flee by bicycle. Only one problem, they couldn't find a bike anywhere. Somehow, Hans did something that sounds like the plot point in a children's fantasy book. He made two bicycles in one night using spare parts. That incredible act likely saved their lives, as well as the future of the monkey that would become Curious George. Because before their escape, Margaret rounded up all of their unpublished children's book manuscripts, including one titled Fifi, The Adventures of a Monkey. The couple biked out of the city of Paris 48 hours before the Germans occupied Paris and slept in barns and restaurants on their journey out of France. As if in return for being saved, the curious little monkey character helped save the Rays whenever they were stopped at checkpoints during their escape. The couple brandished the manuscripts and the illustrations to prove, hey, we're not dangerous. They eventually made their way to Lisbon, then back to Brazil, and finally to New York. Fifi became George, and in 1941, Houghton Mifflin published the first Curious George book. And since then, over 75 million Curious George books have been sold, and the series has been translated into 19 languages. Hans Rey died in 1977. Margaret died in 1996. Now, the documentarian Yamazaki, who grew up partially in the U.S. and partially in Japan, said she was inspired by the Rey story of immigrant success. With the deepening refugee crisis around the globe, the Rey story has become unexpectedly more relevant in the 2 years I've been making this documentary, she said. The Rey's refugee story has a happy ending, and it represents the American dream at its very best. The little Yidlock, Curious George, right here on the Radio Rabbi program. Debbie Friedman has a wonderful song to help children learn the Hebrew alphabet. It is the Aleph-Bet song. Let's listen.
While we're here in Hebrew school, we're going to have some fun and sing the Hebrew alphabet, a song for everyone. It's going to be quite simple, 'cause all you'll have to do is sing the letters after me, then I'll sing after you. Aleph, Bet, Vet,
Aleph, Bet, Vet,
Gimel, Dalet, Hey,
Gimel, Dalet, Hey,
I hope you enjoyed that. The Aleph Bet song. Alphabet, of course, comes from the Hebrew word Aleph Bet. Yes, indeed. Right here on the Radio Rabbi program. I am your radio rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. This is AM 930, The Answer. It's so good to have you with us today. And also FM 103.1, 93.7. And also live stream on your computer. Or listen anytime as a podcast. Just go to my website, rabbibarbara.com. Well, we're going to talk about the Torah portion that was read in the synagogue yesterday, and it's probably bears some repeating because of what's been going on in the world recently. It starts out with the Hebrew word re'eh, and it means behold. This is the way that this week's Sedrit begins. Behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse. Now, what a way to begin. Re'eh. But behold is just one translation of re'eh. There are other ways that we could translate the word too in modern ways. If you think about it, what do we say when we want to get someone's attention? What are some of the words we use today? We say things like, hey, yo, listen up, catch this. All of these are excellent choices because each one stops us in our tracks. In this past week's Torah portion, that's just what God is trying to do. God is trying hard to get our attention. God wants us to pay attention to what we're doing with our lives and make some choices about how to behave. After all, it's up to us. We can be a blessing in each other's lives, or we can be tui, tui, tui. We can be a curse. And like my colleague, Rabbi Jack Reamer, likes to say when he talks about this Torah portion, the words that begin this Sedra mean not only choose life, but also choose during life. So we have this choice, this free will. And free will is one of the basic principles of Judaism that is often misunderstood, confused, and neglected because sometimes it makes our heads hurt to think about it. So we really have a choice? Do we? I don't know. Think back to Exodus. It says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So God already knew Pharaoh was going to be tough on the Jews. Where was the free choice there? The Torah tells us that we Jews were told by God to destroy all the other fake gods we came across as we entered the promised land, or we wouldn't get in. Doesn't sound like free choice to me. And then we're told that God held Mount Sinai over our heads when he asked us if we wanted to accept the Torah. So under pressure, we said yes to the Torah, but was it really free choice? But yet, when I look at the world around me, I notice that there is free choice all around me as well. So many choices that affect so many. We saw what a crazy terrorist did. He plowed his truck into families and friends enjoying their vacation in Barcelona, Spain. In France, just last year, same thing. 100 were killed and dozens horribly injured. A few years ago, two messed up kids decided to take guns into a high school in Colorado. And last week, someone decides to do damage to others to kill one young woman with a speeding car. And it wasn't so long ago that one madman decided the Jews were to blame for his country's problems and 6 million of us are murdered. How could God allow these things to happen? And if we have free choice, how does God fit into the picture? Or, as some people say, doesn't free choice imply that there really is no God? When I think about this idea of choice, I come up with this. The Torah tells me that God may know everything, but free choice tells me that my choices are part of the picture. It's like an actuary table. All those facts and figures that an insurance agent shows us when we're thinking about buying life insurance, the actuary table is a list of predictions made by scientists and medical researchers to make an educated guess as to how many people will live to what age. So I checked it out, and I found out that the table, predicts things like most women born in 1947, that would be me, would probably live to be 85 years old. But what the statistics can't tell us is which woman will live to be 85 and which woman will not. That's where free choice comes in. That's where my free choice works in partnership with God. I can choose to smoke or eat a lot of chocolate or never exercise, and my free choice will affect that prediction in a bad way. Or I can choose to get my regular checkups every year, take the stairs every day, and long walks several times a week, only eat the M&Ms once in a while, and my free choice can affect that prediction in a good way. The choice is up to me, and my choice has a direct impact on the outcome of those predictions. Now, Dr. Viktor Frankl tells of one of the most eloquent testimonies of the power of free choice and the human will. And this is what Dr. Frankl wrote. We who have lived in concentration camps can remember the people who walked through the huts comforting others and giving away their own pieces of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, the freedom to choose one's own way. Re-A, behold, God calls out, look here and listen up. I've got something for you that will help you to remain a people for the next 3,000 years. Here's my actuary table, God says, and it's called the Torah. Follow these codes on how to treat each other, how to be honest and humble before everyone you meet, how to treat your parents and your kids, keep the Shabbat, and remember why you do it. Because if you do, God says, we will be a chosen nation, consecrated to God with a responsibility, not a privilege, but a responsibility to remain alive and whole for the next 3,000 years. Behold what I am about to give you. That's what I think God is saying in this parsha. Look, I will give you immortality if you follow my guidelines. And look what happened. For 3,000 years, as we followed God's mitzvot, we Jews have survived, and more than that, we have been a blessing to the world. And the blessings have been magnificent. Look what we've given the world. Our survival has provided the world with more science, more healing, more medicine, more literature, more music, more stability, not only economic, but moral stability. And when you stack all that up against how many of us there are, we Jews have chosen to do more of these wonderful things than any other group in the world has ever done. 3,000 years ago, we were given a chance to use our free will and to make a free choice, to choose to be blessings or to choose to be a curse. We are here today as Jews of all stripes and varieties, denominations. And like we like to say at the end of the Radio Rabbi program, whether you're traditional or cultural or secular, we identify as Jews because we choose to be a blessing. As a people, we choose to live with God's mitzvot, to live a life of gimlut chasadim, deeds of loving kindness, and follow this path over the course of time. It gives me comfort to think about my ancestors who 3,000 years ago rose to the challenge, to the Torah's challenge. Re'eh, behold, I have set before you this day the blessings and the curse, life and death, and we shall choose life. And 3,000 years later, we can still do the same thing. We can work to align our free will with God's will. We can choose during life to work in a partnership with the Eternal One. Each day we can ask for guidance to do the right thing. Each day we can ask ourselves, how can I be a blessing to my family, to my friends, to the world? We can think, and then most important at all, we the chosen people, we can choose to bless the world with kindness, goodness, and love. Little Torah talk today from the Radio Rabbi program. AM 930, The Answer. Some of you write me and ask me to play a little more, and so, of course, I will. The CD is A Fire Burns. The artist is my good friend and colleague, Robin Helsner, and a wonderful piece of Yiddish music, Unser Nigundel. Let's listen.
Hoben mir an Nigendol in Nachis und in Frieden, in Nachis und in Frieden. Singen mir, es klingt es als ein Schäm. Das hat noch gesungen, die Bobe mitten sehen. Wenn sie sein in der Kinder noch gewähnt, ai, 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 oh.
zusammen, singen wir zusammen, singen wir es, singen wir es, klingt es als bei Schäm. Das hat noch gesungen der Tate mit der Mamen. Wenn sie seinen Kinder noch gewähnt, ai, 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 oh, das soll, je wieder nicken klingt das Kinder. Hoben wir an die Gendal in Masol und im Broche, in Masol und im Broche. Singen wir es, klingt es als so schön. Das hat noch gesungen die ganze Mischwoche. Wenn sie seinen Kinder noch gewinnt, ai, 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 oh, das soll schon wieder nicken, klingt das in der Asafrela, Asafrela, sind schon Kinder, oh, das soll schon wieder nicken, klingt das in der Asafrela, froh wir alle gehen.
And that was Robin Helsner, Unser Nigundel. How about that? I told you you enjoy Yiddish music today, didn't I? Yes, and you are. You know who also enjoys Yiddish music, and that is the staff of Sleep King. They always ask me to play a little more, and of course I always like to because, of course, they are very good friends of ours. And Steve Prophet asks the same question almost every week, and it is worth repeating. How did you sleep last night? Was it cool and comfortable? Did you have that comforter tucked up under your chin? Oh, no, you say. Not so good. I have an oivalis this morning. My knee, my back, my ankle, my shoulder, and my tushy, too. Mr. Arthritis made a visit. Well, if you've checked everything out medically and everything's okay in that department, don't forget that it could be your mattress that is part of the problem. And if you think it might be, I encourage you to talk to my good friends at Sleep King, Steve Prophet and his wonderful staff, because they have a great selection of Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Simmons mattresses to choose from, a comprehensive selection of latex and NASA memory foam beds, even the new one called Hybrid with a box spring below, and a latex cooling type mattress above. Discount prices on electric adjustable beds, including a queen size adjustable bed. Now, where would you find all these wonderful products? 1901 Hanson Street is where, and that is in Sarasota. Free same day delivery. You remember Larry's great commercial, even if we have to carry it on our backs, they will deliver your bed right to your bedroom. The nice gentleman will set it up for you and take away that pesky old mattress that's been giving you such trouble. Doesn't go to a landfill, by the way. It goes to a recycling center. That's because Sleep King is committed to doing for others. They have Yiddishkeit in their heart, and they've been in business for more than 30 years, so we know that they are doing something right. So if you are concerned about service before and after the sale, Sleep King of Sarasota is your very best place to buy that brand new bed. They're located at 1901 Hanson Street. You can go onto my website, rabbibarbara.com, scroll down to Sleep King, to the Radio Rabbi, click on the Sleep King email addresses there, website addresses, I should say, and you'll find out what's on special. Or give them a call at 941-922-5271, 941-922-5271. And And be sure that when you call, let them know that you are a listener to the Radio Rabbi program. Steve always likes to hear that, as does his staff. And we thank you so much, Sleep King, for being a charter sponsor of the Radio Rabbi program. A regular feature here on the Radio Rabbi program is our Misha Barak, where we pray for those in need of healing. And I ask you to send me the names of those who are ill, whom you know, because the Kabbalists, the Jewish mystics, taught us that there is greater strength when we pray together, even more so than when we pray alone. And I've been asked to remember for the Misha Barak today, Ralph and Becky, Arthur, Victoria, Dennis, Leanne, Sandro, Lionel, Harriet, Andrea, Francine, Iris, James, Annie, and Dolores. And now take a moment and say aloud, yes, do that, the names of your friends and family members who are in need of refuah shlema, of complete healing. Do that now. And then the words of comfort, sung by Debbie Friedman of Blessed Memory. The CD is Renewal of Spirit, the Misha Barak.
Thank you.
That was the Mishaberach prayer, the prayer for healing, a regular feature here on the Radio Rabbi program. I'm Rabbi Barbara, and I'm so happy you're with us today. Everyone's been talking about fake news lately. Have you been hearing that term bandied about? Well, I'm not quite sure where this particular story fits, if it's fake news or if it's talking about the fact that fact can be stranger than fiction. But journalist Kanan Lifshitz writes about the Polish villagers who hold a Jewish wedding every year with no Jews. Okay, Jewish News Service has this story, and I found it fascinating. I wonder if you will as well. Nostalgia for Jews is a well-documented phenomenon in Eastern Europe with cultural and even substantial commercial aspects that surrounding it. For example, in Ukraine, so-called Jewish-themed restaurants with pork-heavy menus compete for tourists, while figurines of Jews are sold at markets as good luck charms. In Poland, graffiti reading, "I miss you, Jew," have become a common sight. But beyond the kitsch, Jewish cultural festivals draw large non-Jewish audiences in Krakow, Warsaw, and even Budapest. Some credit this trend to a feeling of loss over the near annihilation of once vibrant Jewish communities, but others trace it to a desire to reconnect with their pre-Soviet past. But even against this backdrop, the fake Jewish wedding that was held several weeks ago in a small town 80 miles northeast of Warsaw really stands out. Make-believe Jewish weddings are a regular educational event in Spain and Portugal, where nostalgia for nearly extinct Jewish communities is also prevalent. But in Poland, events like these are rare. The Jewish wedding was organized by the local cultural group that promotes Polish heritage, and the event features a few dozen non-Jewish volunteers, men and women, dressed in traditional Haredi costumes. Some men wore fake beards and side curls, including ones that didn't match their natural hair color. A local journalist played the part of the groom and stood under the chuppah, the bridal canopy, with his make-believe bride, a local resident. They were wed by a fake rabbi in a show before villagers whom the event's organizers sought to teach about Jewish traditions. Reaction? Well, Johnny Daniels is the London-born founder of From the Depths, an organization which promotes Holocaust commemorations in Poland. He says that events like this one are a kind of therapy taking place all over the country. The producer of the fake Jewish wedding sees it as a way of commemorating the more than 500 Jews who had accounted for approximately half of her village's population before the Holocaust, most of whom were sent to ghettos and camps and never returned. Elsewhere in Europe, Jewish-themed festivals are more common, but there is something odd, creepy, about Jewish-themed events that are held in the absence of a living, breathing Jewish community. Is it nostalgia? Is it a way to generate tourism revenue? Who knows? But the show must go on, and in order to authenticate the Simcha, the cultural society enlisted the aid of a local actress from the Jewish Theater of Warsaw, who ended up choreographing the entire affair, which included the ketubah signing and the traditional Jewish wedding music. The Jewish Museum of Warsaw offered their own Jewish perspective and continues its involvement by working with a local high school student whose mission it is to reopen and rededicate the abandoned synagogue that miraculously survived Nazi occupation. But, says our journalist, in Spain and Portugal, for example, where hundreds of thousands of Jews were oppressed 500 years ago during the Inquisition, it could be that the passage of time has made goodwill gestures toward Jews less complicated than in the Eastern European countries. In 2013, Spain and Portugal even passed laws granting citizenship to descendants of Sephardic Jews, a move whose generosity is in contrast, sharp contrast, with the refusal by Poland and other East European countries to offer even partial restitution for property that was stolen from the Jewish community. A fake Jewish wedding, for educational purposes right here on the Radio Rabbi program. What do you think about that? Let me know. Send me an email at rabbi@rabbibarbara.com or leave me a voicemail message at 941-306-3255. Tanya Solnick, wonderful, wonderful songstress. Her CD, A Legacy of Lullabies, is a beautiful one. That's a good way to close out our program today with Zing, Begala, Zing.
Ich gedenk, wenn ich bin noch a Kind gewesen, pflegt mein Mama nur singen zu mir. Bis da mal ach, bist wie alle Welten schön, will a Stern nur bringen zu dir. Es klingt mir noch jetzt in die schöne Melodie, hab schon mein Jugend verloren, noch sing ich ihr Liedle mir zieh. Sing, Fegele, sing, mach's mein Gemüt klein.
Don't you just love that? Tanya Solnick, Zing, Vegan, Zing. Beautiful, beautiful lullaby right here on the Radio Rabbi program. If you're where you can stand up, I'd like you to do that now as we say Kaddish today, as we say Kaddish for the victims of terror all around the world, especially the loss of life, the young woman in Charlottesville, and the 14 people killed by the latest terrorist at the latest terrorist attack in Barcelona. If you have a friend or a family member who's passed on as well, it's good to remember them with a Kaddish prayer, which is a prayer of gratitude for the lives that they lived. You can join me. Yigdal v'yikadash shemei rabah, be'oma divrach rutei v'yamlik malkutei, b'chay echon v'yom echon, v'chayei dekol beit Yisrael ba'agala uvizman kariv v'imru amen.
Yeheshme Rabba Mivarak Leolamalameo Maya Yibarak Vishtabak Vipaarvi Roman Vitnase Vihadar Vitale Vitala Shme Dikudishabriku Elam Minko Birchata Vishirata Tush Birchata Venechamata De Amiran Beama Vimru Amin Yeheshlama Rabba Min Shemaya Vichayim Aleinu Veakod Israel Vimru Amin Ose shalom bim ramath, huya se shalom, aleinu ve'akol Israel, vimru amen. May their memories be forever be for a blessing, and may the victims of terror rest in peace in God's loving arms. And let us say, amen. Well, it's time for us to say goodbye this morning, and we'd like to mention that the Radio Rabbi program is pluralistic. And what do we mean by that? Well, whether you are Reform or Progressive, Orthodox or Reconstructionist, Conservative or Renewal, Humanistic, part of the cultural groups, Ashkenazi or Sephardic, your family go all the way back to the B'nai Anosim, the forced conversion, so your family might have been crypto-Jewish, Maranos or Conversus, like mine. Are you a cultural, a secular, or even the gastronomic? Jew. We are all part of the Mishpucha. We're part of a worldwide wonderful Jewish family. As we say to you, welcome home. This is Rabbi Barbara Aiello, your radio rabbi, and we will see you next week on AM 930 The Answer, FM 103.1 and 93.7. Shalom, everyone. Bye now.